you will never own a home. I'm really sorry to have to be the guy to deliver this information to you. You know, I know a lot of you have like cottagecore dreams for the future, but Donald Trump has different plans for you and your finances. This is from Trump's speech at Davos, which we didn't go over the entirety of, but he said something, or I should say he reaffirmed something that I think is really funny because it runs contradictory to what basically everybody online wants.
I have to say one thing about housing, because nobody ever says this. I am very protective of people that already own a house, of which we have millions and millions and millions.
You're not supposed to admit this, by the way. You're not supposed to say this out loud.
And because we have had such a good run, the house values have gone up tremendously. And these people have become wealthy. They weren't wealthy. They become wealthy because of their house. And every time you make it more and more and more affordable for somebody to buy a house cheaply, you're actually hurting the value of those houses, obviously, because the one thing works in tandem with the other. And I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt the value of people that own a house who, for the first time in their lives, are walking around the streets of whatever city they're in, very proud that their house is worth $500,000, $600,000, $700,000.
The fact that we treat housing like a speculative commodity when it's actually a thing that you need to live is insane. It would be like deliberately producing fewer pacemakers than you need so that all of the boomers who have pacemakers, the value of their pacemaker goes up, but then it doesn't matter because the pacemaker's like in their chest. They can't like take it out or whatever, so they just have it and they just get to like feel good because they have an expensive pacemaker. Well, a bunch of other people don't have pacemakers at all. And they're like, well, you know, as bad as everything else is, at least this thing in my chest that I can't take out is worth $800,000.
Now, if I want to really crush the housing market, I could do that so fast that people could buy houses. But you would
if I wanted to make housing affordable, I could, but I won't.
Destroy a lot of people that already have houses. In some cases, they've mortgaged their house and the mortgage would be very low. And all of a sudden, the mortgage without any changes becomes very high and they end up losing the house.
Trump has been really, really consistent with this in the past as well, though I think he's getting less subtle about it, which is that he wants housing costs to be obscenely high. He wants mortgage monthly rates to be very low, which is why he was talking about a 50-year mortgage, you know? Like, how can people ever afford a house, ever, under any circumstances, when you are deliberately worsening the housing market, making everything more expensive, and you're making them completely unaffordable? All you can really do is lengthen the mortgage term, you know? This man cannot lie. They can't lie. He cannot lie. You're not supposed to admit this. It just reminds me of all of those like Nazis who were posting online right after Trump won in 2024. You know, they were posting like me and my wife, because we know we'll finally be able to afford a home under Trump. And he says shit like this. You're not supposed to say stuff like this, folks. You're not supposed to admit this. He said it again today. I know that. Thank you. That's why I'm leading into it. You're not supposed to admit this, right? Unfortunately, the byproduct of making housing a speculative commodity is that there is a directly competitive relationship between the housing needs of young people and the speculative desires of older people. Now, obviously, this is a very, very like differently weighted problem, because for young people who want to own a home, this is literally like their future. And for old people who are just sitting on money, they're going to die. That's what you do in your house. If you own a house and the house is worth, you bought it for $30K and now it's worth $600,000, what does that mean to you? You're just sitting there on the house. So many of our, it's the UKification of the United States, where like everything is liquefied so that it could be turned into wealth for the pensioners, you know? Texas and Florida are doing this as well, getting rid of property taxes, which is like a phenomenal way to kill a country, basically. He said this too at Davos, homes are built for people, not corporations. Yeah, but this is low IQ slop bait. For people who don't understand how the housing market works, people think the housing market is expensive because BlackRock is running around buying up all the houses. The actual reason the housing market is expensive is because the president of the United States just admitted that he wants homes to be expensive. Like, what do you, like, what? We're tired of the housing prices being driven up by corporate speculation. We're only going to have them driven up by individual private speculation. What? Doesn't BlackRock or all those like real estate investment companies, the only reason they're even buying into the housing market is because people like Trump are making it so expensive and making the cost go up so much. Like, they're turning it into a valuable asset. You shouldn't be able to speculate. You know where people aren't speculating on housing, I bet? Fucking Japan. Because they're not having any more people because no one over there fucks and they build a fuck ton of housing. What kind of idiot would speculatively invest into housing in Japan? In Japan, they build more houses per construction worker, too. Yes, they build a lot more. Anyway, Trump doubled down on this today in a cabinet meeting.
One of the things Scott said, though, is, again, existing housing, people that own their homes, we're going to keep them wealthy. We're going to keep those prices up. We're not going to destroy the value of their homes.
Again, like, you have to, so again, you're not supposed to admit this. You have to understand what this means in practice, okay? These boomers are house poor, right? We're talking about tens of millions of old people all across the country who struggle to make ends meet, but are technically wealthy because due to the artificial inflation of housing prices through under construction, the land that they're sitting on has gone from very inexpensive to very, very, very expensive. But it's like having a very expensive pacemaker, man. What are you doing with that? You know? And then people say, well, they're going to pass it on to their kids. No, they aren't. They're going to die, and then it's just going to be given to the kids, and the kids are going to sell it. Why not? Because a lot of these boomers live in places with no jobs. That's the issue. Like, this is the problem. When you speculatively invest into these places, when you buy a house and sit on it, the idea of like a family generation by generation living in the same house, that doesn't happen that much anymore. People move for jobs, and people tend to want to live in the cities. A lot of these houses, they're out in the sticks. They're suburbs that were built in the 1950s. They don't have jobs. People don't want to commute an hour and a half there and back every day. It's not good. They're also going to try to sell it to pay for retirement and healthcare. Right, well, that's the problem. It's a bubble. Who do you think's going to buy? Seriously, when we see the boomer generation die off, the housing bubble is basically guaranteed to pop. There is no market for the... Again, we're talking like millions and millions of extremely expensive, like overpriced rural or suburban houses that were built en masse in the 50s and 60s that like the same person has been squatting in it their entire life. Like, we're talking boomers born in 1952. They've been raised there. They've been living there their whole life. Who's going to live there when they're gone? Who's going to go out there and spend $800,000 to go live in a suburb that's, 50 minutes away from the downtown core and has no local jobs? Who's buying these houses? Nobody is. You know the average... Have you seen charts on the average age of new home buyers? Hold on. Average age of home buyer. In 2025, the median age of first-time home buyers reached a record high of 40 years old. The median age for all home buyers rose to 59. The median age for all home buyers, 59. And that's not some big corporate exec sweeping everything up in a company or whatever. Again, the vast majority of houses are owned by individual homeowners or people who own like at most two or three, right? Not people who own 500 or 5,000. Vast, vast, vast majority. Median age, 59. Insane. And a lot of this is driven off speculation. Nobody is going to be buying those suburban homes. God, the data on this is just, it's civilizational collapse, okay? It's beyond the pale. It is insane. Banks are now heavily represented in the ownership of single-family homes. Yeah, because they fucking repossess it. Because nobody buys it. Like they're not the banks aren't like speculatively investing. They're taking over unfilled mortgages, or like nobody's willing to buy after the owner dies and puts it up for sale. Like they're not getting into it to because they're sweeping up all the houses. They're getting into it because there's no demand for houses at that price. The worst part is the banks don't want them either. No, who the fuck would want that? Who the fuck would want to sit? Fuck. On a bunch of properties that are inflated to like three times their actual price at minimum, fucking massive like property tax just sitting on it, the bubble's gonna pop. If rural and suburban places are dying out, doesn't that actually help long-termish with the urbanization problem you're talking about earlier? Well, not necessarily, because cities are helped out when people move to them, yeah, but what we're talking about here is like a byproduct of a larger issue, which is a systemic unwillingness to build new housing anywhere. Also, cities need to grow. Like, I don't think everyone should just pack themselves up and move into a city and then the city's population density goes up and up and up. I don't think New York City's population density needs to go up at all. I just think that, like, not on average at least, I just think that we need to build new cities, or we need to build new city cores. Like, don't pile in to increase the density of downtown. Increase the density of suburbia. Build, like, build new city centers, you know? Vosh, my family has a nice house and 2 acres of property. It has great value right now and will only get better, but it's in a terrible rural location in Texas. Tuesday, I have really bad news for you. If you and your family can get a sale on that sometime soon, like, if you can close that deal soon, I don't know if you're living there or what, but, yeah, it will not only get better. That is not a guarantee. The share of first-time homebuyers dropped to a record low of 21%. Anyway, let's see what Trump said today. Just today. Just today.
One of the things Scott said, though, is, again, existing housing, people that own their homes, we're going to keep them wealthy. We're going to keep those prices up. We're not going to destroy the value of their homes so that somebody that didn't work very hard can buy a home. We're going to make it easier to buy. We're going to get interest rates down. But I want to protect the people that for the first time in their lives feel good about themselves. They feel like they've, you know, that they're wealthy people. And I want them to...
So pathetic. This is the only way to achieve the American dream of financial stability, is just to, like, sit on a property.
Understand it. You know, there's so much talk about, oh, we're going to drive housing prices down. I don't want to drive housing prices down. I want to drive housing prices up for people that own their homes. And they can be assured that's what's going to happen. One of the things Scott said, though, is...
yeah, you will never own a home. Housing prices didn't even drop that much after the 2008 subprime mortgage loan crash. Trump is unironically a boomer nationalist. Oh, yeah, all of them are. Inevitably, like, this is the direction governments go. Old people are the ones with more inherited wealth, or they've been sitting on more wealth. They vote more reliably. So governments more and more and more become just vessels for the interests of the old. The UK is like, yeah, a certified gerontocracy, has been for a long time. What we need to understand, if a civilization is to prosper, we need to understand young people are the future. They are, and they always will be. And when you're old, you're left to the dust. You can still contribute, but you're not contributing by just sitting on a big fucking property and waiting for that shit to like age into dust. If you want to contribute to society, you do that by contributing to society, right? And that's a choice you get to make as an old person. But the practical reality is that for most old people, they take a back seat and they use their accrued wealth or social services or whatever else to just sit back and relax. And you know what? That's fucking fine, man. That's fine. But you are no longer the movers and the shakers. You are no longer the people carrying the flame. You know, that's life. It's not a moral judgment. Vosh, be like, you don't work, you don't vote. True. I'm sure we can all agree that it's probably not a good thing that the government is disproportionately prioritizing the political interests of people who are, in many cases, legitimately not going to live more than 10 years. A lot of them think the rapture is coming and that the human race won't live more than 10 years in the future. They have no prospects, no stakes, totally divorced from the real world. You know, yeah, obviously, I think that the government should be using its resources to propel the interests and the motivation and the productivity of young people for the most part. There are productive old people, but again, this has nothing to do with that. The desire to fuck over the entire housing market just so that old people can feel good about sitting on a property worth $1.3 million, who the fuck is this for? It's for nothing other than securing the votes of old people. Russia's even becoming like that? Yep. It's this case like all over the world. All over the world. Is the rapture thing a joke? No, lots of conservative Christians believe the rapture is coming. They've been thinking this for hundreds of years. Besant was talking about helping mom and pop landlords who own 12 properties. Yes, that one was super funny.
We are going to give guidance at some point to see what is a mom and pop. That someone, maybe your parents for their retirement, bought 5, 10, 12 homes. So we don't want to push the mom and pops out. We just want to push everyone else out.
Incredible stuff. Really tapped into the zeitgeist, you know? Dems need to start building housing. It's really bad electorally. I've talked to you guys about the insane fucking California proposition that locked in housing prices, or like for the purposes of property taxes, locked them in at their rates at like 1976. So there are places that are worth like $2 million, but they're paying like $500 a year in property taxes. Have I talked about this? For some reason, like me, when I just decide to commit budgetary suicide for no reason one day. Passed in 1978, California's Proposition 13 limits property tax rates to a maximum of 1% of the property's assessed values at that time. Prop 13, property tax differences. I saw, did anyone see that post on Twitter of a guy that was comparing their property taxes to their neighbors? And because the neighbors had bought their places back before the prop was put out, they paid like 1/20th of the property tax. In good old California, in 750 El Camino del Mar, San Francisco, California, just a clean little $10 million home right here, 5-bed, 5-bath, 4,500 square feet, you know, a little bit valuable. Very good, very good. Let's take a look at its property tax records. Oh, that's interesting. $3,500 a year. It's being taxed as though it's worth $300,000. That's interesting. Here are some California homes. And the text in blue are homes that are not benefiting from the Prop 13 limit. And the text in red are ones that are. So all these homes are worth $3, $4 million or so. See, here we go. In blue, this one's paying $27,700 a year, $11,000, $14,000, whatever. Here's one in red, $800. Just $800 a year. Yum, yum. $1,000 a year. It literally like 1/10 of the, 1/10 of the amount that some of their neighbors are paying. Great stuff. Really, really, really good stuff. They're literally parasites on their neighbors. We really do need to reframe the way we think of taxes in the United States. If you are not paying the amount of taxes that you should be, you are a parasite. You are consuming the wealth of your neighbors. We really need to, like, we need to start getting some radio propaganda on this, the likes of which we haven't seen since the Rwandan genocide, okay? I need local radio stations to screech about Prop 13. In California, screech about, like, do your neighbors benefit from the Prop 13 house pricing freeze? Look at this map, you know? Gonna have everyone at each other with machetes. CA is not the only state that does this kind of thing. No, but it does it the worst. It's pretty difficult to find something as bad as Prop 13, apart from just cutting property taxes altogether, you know? It's really bad. Makes me sick just looking at it. All that wealth that could have been used. Everything that could have been done to help people with that money. It's just so anti-democratic. Yep. Look at this. Local government revenue. After Prop 13 was approved, local government annual property tax revenue in billions, 2014 to 15 dollars. When Proposition 13 was approved, it dropped by more than 50%. All of those cities across America, sorry, across California, strangled of money. All those school districts that had to close, all of those class sizes that had to inflate as they had to fire teachers as they lost billions in funding. Why aren't there riots over this? Because old people were happy. Because homeowners were happy. And that's all that matters. Is that what's about to happen in Florida? Didn't they abolish property taxes? Yes. Florida has abolished property taxes, and as a consequence, the doom that they were already consigned to creeps ever closer. Keep in mind that Florida openly advertises itself, to a large extent, as like a boomer paradise. You know, come and retire there, the weather's good. When it's not, you know, hurricane season at least, which is going to be expanding. Nobody's buying houses there. I'm not saying it's a good idea,